Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with spring break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players, start playing with just $5 and get 100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code RTFP to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
You're tuned in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, guiding your gridiron journey, none other than your host, former NFL lineman, Ross Tucker.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Wisdom Wednesday presented, as always, by DraftKings. I am Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman. Most of you know that. 5 teams, 7 years, bunch of media gigs, bunch of podcasts. We'll have the Fantasy Feast podcast today. Obviously had the Even Money Betting podcast yesterday. Very much looking forward to the wisdom today from Mike Mayock. Perfectly timed day to have on the former Raiders general manager. New week means new winners. We do have a new patron of the day, Brian Thiemann. And listen, you guys know how I feel about this at this point. When you're watching the game, make it easy on yourself. Order in on DoorDash. Now you can root for your squad while your food and drinks are on the way. That means burgers, chips, dip, soda, pizza, wings, so much more delivered straight to your door. And then you got to have something delicious to wash it down. I highly recommend Labatt Blue Light. Jason Kelce drinks it. I drink it. Basically, everybody you know that's awesome drinks it. Live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. It's Big Show time with my guy, Mike Mayock.
The Big Show.
Always great to be joined by one of my favorite people, and honestly, one of the best people I know in the industry here on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. My buddy, Mike Mayock, who we were on the broadcast together a couple weeks ago for the Rams and the Lions, the first home playoff game in Detroit in over 30 years. It was fantastic. Of course, a lot of you know him from his recent stint as the Raiders general manager, and before that, being the lead draft guy for NFL Network. Mike, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. Really appreciate it.
Hey, I'm excited, Ross. It's always good to see you. And I was a little jealous when you were down on the field for that game in Detroit. The atmosphere was crazy. And you know what I got a kick out of? I got a kick out of you and the linebacker from your hometown after the game with the big hug and I love you. And it's kind of cool that even though you guys are separated by a decade or more, there's that bond of hometown in football. I got a kick out of that, Ross.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I always tell people, I don't know what it would have been like to grow up anywhere else, but I think almost like the further away you get from a major city, it's almost like the more high school football matters, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's a really big deal where we live. It's a really small town. We have a graduate like 140 people. Although I think I told you Taylor Swift is one of them, which is a whole other thing, by the way, for the most famous person in the world. Like, you knew what house she lived in when she was 10. It's just, that's a whole other thing. But
let me connect a couple more dots for you. So Taylor Swift was at the game I had this weekend, which was Buffalo, Kansas City. Obviously, Kelsey's brother was climbing out of the press box and carrying people in and out while he was crushing beers. And I was on the field pregame, and I told Brett Veach I heard he was quite the high school football player. and he almost fell over. He's like, how do you know that? And I said, what, my man, Ross Tucker. He played in the Big 33. We had quite a talk on the field about his high school career.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad you were able to connect with Brett. Before I move on to kind of what you're doing now, Mike, and some Raiders stuff, I am curious, just your biggest takeaway from that Bills-Chiefs game, because, you know, I have a lot of Bills fans that are listeners because of how much time I spent up there. My favorite team of the five I played for. And, Mike, I think I tweeted this during the game. At some point in the fourth quarter, I felt like the Bills offensive line had been dominating the game and Josh Allen had almost played a perfect game and they were still losing the game at that point. I mean, it's just, it feels like you almost have to be perfect to beat Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Yeah, there's something, I think there are 2 points here, Ross, and you hit on one of them really well. And that is, I think if you look back at the history of the NFL playoffs, at certain teams that dominate consistently over a period of time, there's some common denominators. One is a great coach, one's a great quarterback, but there's also playoff DNA. And they expect to win a football game, no matter what. And I'll be honest, when I did the tape of Kansas City getting ready for the game of their offense, they were an average offense this year. They were number 15 in points scored. They were pedestrian. Why? A lot of drops, a lot of turnovers, more disconnects between quarterback and wideouts than you can even count on your notes. They didn't look like the Kansas City Chiefs that we've gotten used to. But all of a sudden, now we're in a key playoff game against an opponent that they're really familiar with. And this is point number two. And again, throughout history, if you want to be one of those teams, there's typically a nemesis that you have to get by to climb that mountain. And for the Buffalo Bills, the nemesis is Kansas City. They lost to them twice in the playoffs the last several years. They lost to them again last weekend. And I got the feel in the fourth quarter that regardless of the fact that Josh Allen played a near perfect game and they ran the football really well most of the game and were physical and downhill and tough, you just got the feeling that the Buffalo Bill players were on the sidelines in the fourth quarter like, oh, man, here we go again. We can't shake these guys. Mahomes. And you get the feeling on the other sideline, the Kansas City guys were almost laughing like, hey, we got them. You know, we're going right back to familiar territory. We win these kind of games, and they don't. And that's what happened.
Yeah, and I until you break that cycle, that I do think there's a mental element to that.
Yep.
For sure, Mike. So look, I know what you're doing now, including doing the Westwood One games because, you know, you and I were on the Rams-Lions and you just did Bills-Chiefs, but you also are involved with something else. And I always like, you know, to bring someone like you on and just make sure people know what you're up to now.
Well, I mean, I'm working as a consultant for a company called Sumer Sports. Thomas Dimitroff, the ex general manager in Atlanta, is running that piece of the company, the football side of it. And what it is an artificial intelligence group filled with more brilliant guys than even you. And I know you've got the Ivy League education, but it's just a bunch of brilliant mathematicians. The owner made his money and on the stock market with algorithms, mathematical algorithms. He's brilliant. Paul Tudor Jones is his name. And he's made billions of dollars. And he's frustrated by the personnel decisions made in the National Football League in all levels of football. And he thinks he can drive an algorithm or two or three and help general managers and evaluators do a better job. And he needs football people to put football grades into those algorithms. So he's got Thomas Dimitroff. Thomas hired myself and some other former scouts and coaches, and it was fun. I spent all fall writing college reports, which is what I've been doing, watching tape and writing reports for the last 25 years. So this fall, I got a healthy dose of both the pro tape and the college tape, which I really like. It kind of keeps me involved, and now I'm kind of looking at the rest of the winter and going, maybe I can play some golf and hang out a little bit.
Nice. I love it. So I think I asked you this in person, but I'm sure everybody would be curious. You had such a long and fantastic broadcasting career. Then you went on to the team side with the Raiders. I'm not asking about the general manager part of it yet. My question is, what are your biggest takeaways from working for a team as opposed to being like a broadcast? Like, and I've had teams reach out to me and just get feelers before, Mike. But like, if I called you up and I was like, Mike, this team wants to hire me for this, what would you make sure that I knew about before I made that decision?
The biggest takeaway, Ross, is that when you and I are broadcasters, we are basically responsible for the content that we present. And that means the preparation that we go through. And I think you and I are very preparation oriented. We watch our tape. We talk to the people in the building so that we're prepared. You know, we exhaustively prepare, but it's only for ourselves, right? It's basically, we are independent contractors that are responsible for our content and our work ethic. And you don't have to worry about a building full of people. Once you get into an NFL building, regardless of what level, you've got to work as a great teammate. When you're a general manager, you've got to organize and manage people way more than I anticipated on the way in the door. But it's a different challenge because you give up some of your independence, but that's okay because you and I are both kind of old football guys. And what you get in return is you're all in on the team concept, which again, as former players, we love and embrace. And on Sunday, instead of going up in the broadcast booth and the game's over, I feel, okay, we had a good game. Mahomes won. I'm going to go get a beer. You know, when you're on a team, like literally you're throwing up in your mouth 20 times on Sunday, every Sunday, because it's the closest thing to being a player that you can get to. And it's a little bit more visceral because you're not 27 years old anymore. And you realize what it really does mean in your overall scope of your life.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. On the one hand, I miss caring who wins. I mean, the most I care about who wins, Mike, is Friday nights when I'm in a hotel room watching my high school team on YouTube. Like that's when I'm like a fan, because I'm broadcasting a college or NFL game or whatever. Yeah. So there's part of me that misses, like I even say to my high school coach that we lost in the state semifinals, like it was still nice to like have that anxiety, like to care. I like to care. Are you glad you did it?
Yeah. I mean, to try and make a really long story short, I mean, all those years I was at NFL Network doing the evaluations, I had a great network of throughout the league, all 32. My job was basically to be in all 32 buildings. And because of that, I had my own personal evaluation of players. That's, you know, that's on me. But I also got an opportunity to see how different teams were trying to build their franchise, what the different philosophies were. Why is this GM and this head coach successful in this building and they're not in the next building? So for over 20 years, I was in all 32 buildings, at the combines, at the pro day workouts, at the Senior Bowl. I had a lot of friends around the league, and all we did was talk ball. I mean, we talked football. And I kind of felt like, because of that, I had a pretty good feel of what appealed to me about running a franchise and trying to win a Super Bowl. What as I went around the league, what are the common denominators of winning and losing? And I can oversimplify it, and it's not Mensa, it's not rocket science. I mean, it really comes down to, number one, do you have a quarterback, a high-level quarterback? Number two, what is the head coach-GM relationship? Are they tied at the hip philosophically or not? And number three, the owner's a wild card. You know, there's some good owners, there's bad owners, and there's a bunch in between. And if you have those three components, you have a chance of winning consistently every year at a high level. A chance. It's a hard league, right? And I mean, I remember asking a high-level Hall of Fame type coach 20 years ago. I said, you know, how many teams do you worry about every year? He said, Mike, probably five or six teams. And I said, why so few? He said the other 25 will eliminate themselves. And I thought that was a great overview of what really does happen in the NFL. I mean, teams can't get out of their own way. Owners are hiring the wrong coaches for the wrong reasons. Then they're firing them a year later, and you're redoing all the schematics again. And now you're drafting 34 outside linebackers. And I mean, it's a bad cycle, and some teams don't know how to get out of it. But to answer your final question, that question, I've got two kids I had to help raise, and I'm happy I was there for them. I saw every high school football game of my son. I saw my daughter's basketball games, and I was there for the dances and all the things I wanted to be there for. And when they got out, I was on with their lives, and I had the opportunity with the Raiders, I took it.
Yeah, it's awesome. Absolutely awesome. Speaking of the Raiders, they just hired a former teammate of mine. Antonio Pierce and I, Mike, were undrafted rookie free agents in Washington with Marty Schottenheimer together in 2001. We both made the team. I think he kept five or six undrafted rookies, because the year before, and you'll appreciate this, 2000, that was, I think, the last North Turner year. And they brought in like the 1990 All-Pro team.
Yeah.
Jeff George, Dion, Andre Reed, Irving Fryer, Bruce Smith. So they were like in cap purgatory. So thankfully, Marty Schottenheimer probably needed to keep some rookies. And he did. And he kept us. And Antonio was one of them. And it's funny, because I think that you are indirectly related to this, right? I don't know if Antonio Pierce gets hired if Mark Davis doesn't make the mistake, in my opinion, of moving on from Rich Bisaccia and yourself after the playoff berth a couple years ago. I wrote this back in November, Mike, that he was going to hire Antonio Pierce, because I just didn't think he could make the same mistake twice. I think he realized that. Your thoughts on them hiring Antonio?
I think you hit a big part of it right on the head. I don't know Antonio. I think it's cool that you guys came in together as rookies. You know him, obviously, then way better than I do. I know two things. One is that because of Rich Bisaccia's success, you know, the Gruden resigned, we moved on. Henry Ruggs got in an accident where he killed a woman, and that put a huge hole in our building. And here's Rich Bisaccia, the interim coach, dealing with not only John Gruden's fallout, but Henry Ruggs was this great kid who made an awful, awful, awful decision and mistake, and he's paying for it. But from a football perspective, it punched a hole in our building, because everybody in that building loved Henry Ruggs. And Rich Bisaccia navigated us through that. We won our last four games. We go 10-7, and we're on the 9-yard line. You know, at the Cincinnati Bengals to get the game into overtime with four shots. We didn't get it done. A couple days later, we're both gone. I think, and I remember the press conference Mark Davis had when he hired the two guys from New England. He said, "We're not taking a step back. This is about getting to the next level. And, you know, we're not going to accept a losing season." And of course, what happened is they took two steps back. You know, they had a losing season the first year and another one this year, and they get fired. So I think the pressure was on, to your point. Antonio comes in as an interim coach, has success, does really well. And importantly, guys like Max Crosby, who we drafted in 2019 in the fourth round, and Max owns that locker room, okay? Max driven all the right ways. Max has an addictive personality. And keep in mind, you know, Max was an alcoholic and an addict, and he's gone public with all that. He has an addictive personality. He's gotten rid of all the bad things, and now he's addicted to the good things, being a great husband, a great father. He wants to go to the Hall of Fame, and more than anything, he wants to win Super Bowls. So he's addicted to winning and excellence right now. You know, the whole Raider thing, you know. And I think his and other players' influence on, no, we can't have another change. You messed it up with Bisaccia, you better hire this guy. And I think that played heavily in Mark Davis's decision.
It had to. I mean, how could it not to, right? At this point, that would be crazy. Last question for you, Mike. and maybe you already talked about this, but maybe the biggest lesson you learned as a GM, other than the managing people thing or the head coach GM relationship thing, maybe just like in terms of evaluating players or the draft or trades, biggest lesson as a GM?
Wow. There is more to that job than I ever knew. And it's 24/7 and it's 365. And so, you know, football's a tough business anyway. But what I think I learned, Ross, more than anything, is that even when I couldn't wait to get out of that building, get to the Jersey Shore for the, you know, for that 2 week period in late June, early July before training camp, it was like I'd be on the beach with my wife and my phone would ring and it was an agent. It was a player. It was, hey, we got to work out Richie Incognito and, you know, you need to be there. You got to fly back to Vegas and be there for that workout if you guys want to sign him. And you'll love the story. I fly back to Vegas. Tom Cable, our O-line coach, me and Gruden, and Cable's going to put him through a workout. Incognito's in his 30s, a former Pro Bowl lineman, as you know. And Cable has this little square set up where it's like a defensive back drill. You're backpedaling, you're hopping, he's checking flexibility, footwork. You know, Richie does one circuit, not even a minute. And Cable looks at me and Gruden and gives it like I've seen enough. You guys good? And Gruden and I go, yeah, that looked pretty good. And we signed him. And I'm thinking in my head, I flew from the Jersey Shore on the beach with my wife for a 1 minute workout in Vegas to sign Richie Incognito. But that's the life of a GM. It's all day. It's every day. You don't, you know, the player season, the evaluation season is not the college draft and free agency. It's every day of every friggin' year. And you either embrace it, which I did, and I think everybody that has that job does, or it's not for you. And it's really, it gets exhausting, and you're more mentally tired than the first year in the building. I usually work out 4 or 5 days a week. The first year I was in that building, it was like drinking water through a fire hose. And I felt like, even though I had a world-class workout facility, one floor below my office, I don't think I got to it 5 times in the first year. I felt like crap physically and mentally because it's just so exhausting. But at the end of the day, Ross, you love every second of it.
It's awesome. I love every second talking with you, Mike. Thank you so much for the time.
My pleasure, buddy. Good catching up.
Man, I love Mike Mayock. Love the candidness. Love being able to talk to him about all those different topics. I also love making my wife happy. And I do that thanks to my partners over at westshorehome.com/Ross. You know how happy it makes your significant other and kids when you get a new shower or a new bath shower? It's insane. And for those of you that are new listeners or viewers or whatever, you can see my house. You can see the before and after pictures of my house, westshorehome.com/Ross. And we're about to get a new front door, which is going to be amazing, exactly a week from today. Cannot wait. It's going to be awesome. My wife's fired up. westshorehome.com/Ross. Great way, by the way, to be the sponsor confirmation email winner and get one of these amazing press passes, maybe even Ravens Chiefs on the AFC Championship game, just for getting a free estimate. It's that easy. westshorehome.com/Ross.
Tux Takes.
All right, Ross, the Eagles are reportedly not retaining offense coordinator Brian Johnson. They will likely discuss that at a press conference later today.
Right, so there are reports out that they've already interviewed virtually Cliff Kingsbury, the former Arizona Cardinals head coach who was with USC this past year. I don't know who else they've talked to, what else has leaked in terms of interviews, but obviously that means that Brian Johnson will not be back. And I'm going to say this about the press conference today. I'm going to make this my Labatt take of the week, Jack, presented by Labatt Blue Light, the pristine Canadian Pilsner. Enjoy your beers together so you can live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. I feel like press conferences are the single most overrated thing that we talk about. And maybe it's more in Philadelphia because of the press conference today than it is in other cities. But in general, they hardly ever say anything of significance. I feel like I could predict with maybe 95% accuracy what is going to be said at all of these press conferences for all of these teams. The Bills, Brandon Bean and McDermott had theirs. People are really into what are they going to say at the press conference? I can already tell you what they're going to say at the press conference. Might be the most overrated thing we talk about in sports media.
And a little bit more general manager news out of Las Vegas. The Raiders are hiring former Chargers GM Tom Telesco as their next general manager.
That is interesting because a lot of times, Jack, you don't get a second bite at the apple, right? It's a rare club of guys that get a chance to be GMs twice. You usually don't get that opportunity. And for Tom Telesco, who didn't have that much success with the Chargers, to get a second opportunity this quickly is very interesting, to say the least. We'll see how he does. Good guy. Drafted some good players. But, man, is he the guy that deserves a second chance as a GM? I guess we'll find out. Other than that, I think we're done here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also check out Even Money, Fantasy Feast, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network on Samsung TV Plus, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.
Shout out MyFrontPageStory.com. Guys, Valentine's Day is right around the corner, 3 weeks away. Knock this one out of the park. MyFrontPageStory.com. If she doesn't love it, I'll be shocked. If you get her or him or whoever one of these, you have a great chance to be the Spread the Word winner. You also have BackOfficeSchedule.com, SteakhouseSports.com, HumanHeadNYC.com, Sporticulture, and Pizza Boy Brewing.